All right, now, I'm not sure what to call this, but let's just put something down. Getting your breakthrough. Getting your breakthrough. All right, let's look at Romans chapter 12. I'll start reading at verse 1. I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a what? Living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the what? The measure of faith. All right? Now, getting your breakthrough. Praise God. This is a time, especially in lieu of what we had during our M&M conference, the speakers that we had, it is obvious that God is taking the church to a higher level. It is very obvious to me, and hopefully it'll soon be obvious to you or somebody who doesn't know that. Now, Albert Einstein said something, and I'm going to say it the best I know how without direct quotes. We cannot solve the problems that we have today on the same level that they were created. In other words, we cannot solve level one problems with level one solutions. For us to solve level one problems, we're going to need a higher level solutions. So, the problems created on one level cannot be solved on the same level of solutions. We've got to provide a solution on another level to really solve the problem. And that agrees with Scripture, because one of the things that he said about Jesus is he had wisdom. And he's not talking about the wisdom of man. He's talking about the wisdom that comes from above. Okay? Because there are two kinds of wisdom. Wisdom of man, natural wisdom, and supernatural wisdom, or God's wisdom. So now, the church are to be the ones that have the wisdom or the ability to solve problems in today's environment that almost seem impossible in the way man is trying to address it or trying to solve it and so forth. And what we have to do is we have to understand who we are so that we could receive solutions and things like that and be able to solve this world's problems. Now, it's talking about conforming to this world. In other words, the church, one of the strategies of Satan is to try to get the church to operate on the level of a natural man. That's one of his strategies. But let's go over, now, if you put something right there, and let's go over to Ephesians, please. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. And we read something from there just a while ago, but let's read a little bit more. Are you with me? Amen. Verse 8. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Now, what that's just saying is that now what is about to happen is that the church is about to display the many-sided wisdom of God. That's what's happening here. Now, Paul had a prayer that he was praying for the church, and which I pray all the time, and that's found over in Ephesians in chapter 1, one of them. And I'll start reading at verse 16. Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Let me have that amplified. Do I have an amplified? Down there. I want to read that same scripture out of the Amplified Translation, and at least part of that same scripture out of the Amplified Translation. And let's see, do we get another degree of clarity in that? Ephesians chapter 1, I'll start reading at verse 17. He says, "For I always pray to God, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that he may grant you a spirit of wisdom and revelation, of insight into mysteries and secrets, in the deep and intimate knowledge of him, by having the eyes of your heart flooded with light, so that you can know and understand the hope to which he has called you, and how rich is his glorious inheritance in the saints, his set-apart ones." All right. Now, increase. That this knowledge that he's talking about is not human knowledge. We call it revelation knowledge. And revelation knowledge is basically communicating on another level. And it's receiving knowledge directly from God that we call revelation. And it illuminates our hearts and our minds with that knowledge. And the mind becomes conformed to a whole nother truth. And we call it being made whole. Now, just like natural knowledge, and you can grow from the third grade to the fourth grade, fifth grade, you can grow in spiritual knowledge. Now, the church is designed to receive God's thoughts. Are you with me? Oh, this is good. Now, just bear with me. Just stay with me now. Okay, thank you. God never intended for us to operate in this world apart from revelation knowledge. the principle, I think Tudor Bismarck brought it up one time, and it was talking about prayer and fasting. Let's go over there. Let me read one more scripture before we go over there. Now, y'all gonna need to hang with me now because this is right off the press. Okay. Look at Colossians, please. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. And let me know when you get to Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, Paul's prayer again. For this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you, and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of what? His will in all what? Wisdom and what? Spiritual understanding. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord into all pleasing, being what? Fruitful in every good work, and what? Increasing in the knowledge of God. God never intended for you to stand still. If you stand still in knowledge, you're moving backwards. Because everything is moving, and it's moving forward, and you've got to stay with it. You've got to continue to learn. The problem comes up when people are trying to live on last year's knowledge, and they're not continually, progressively moving in truth. God didn't plan. True enough, that is true. But these truths are progressive. I used to know something about healing, but now I know more about healing. I used to know something about prosperity. The first time we got our house, we believed God for down payment. And we got a mortgage and believed God for big down payment, and we got it. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. God gave us a house. But then I discovered that I could get a house debt-free. You follow what I'm saying? And I'm saying I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. And the Holy Spirit is our teacher, just like you go from second grade to third grade to fourth grade. The same is happening in the Spirit. And God never intended for you to stay at one location and repeat the second grade and repeat the second grade. He planned for you to move on, because the more knowledge you have, the more for the kingdom you can do. And he never intended for us to lead this world system apart from revelation knowledge. And we're going to have to continue to increase in that. Now, let me, Lord have mercy. Okay, so Satan's strategy, of course, I said it again, is to reduce us to man's level and man's standard, to make it acceptable to men, okay, in their eyes. But you and I, operating in this different level, we're going to have to make up our minds that we're going to get information that the world does not have. And that God is taking this church to a new dimension. And that's what he said when he, well, come on over there now. Let's go over to Mark's Gospel and chapter 9, please. Mark's Gospel, chapter 9. Mark's Gospel, chapter 9. Just stay with me, stay with me, stay with me. I want you to open up for a breakthrough. A breakthrough happens to be when light comes in and it penetrates. See, truth is light. Revelation is light. And when you get in the light, the Bible says walk in it. When you get this revelation, walk in it. Don't draw back, but walk in it. And here comes some revelation. Now watch this. That Mark chapter 9. He says, Jesus, verse 23. This is when Jesus was casting the demon out of the young boy. And Jesus said to him, If thou can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thy my what? Unbelief. And Jesus saw the people. When he saw the people, he came running together. He rebuked the foul spirit and saying to him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge you, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the, and when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And he said to them, this kind can come forth by nothing but what? Prayer and fasting. All right, now what is prayer? And this is what Bishop Bismarck brought forth. We understand prayer and fasting. We understand that. But this thing couldn't come out because of their unbelief. And this prayer has to do with communication. Communication, if you're going to cast out something on this level, you're going to have to communicate from another level. That's the prayer. The fasting is you've got to stop eating on one level if you're going to start eating on another level. No, are y'all following what I'm saying? No, I'm saying that because what happened is God is taking us from glory to glory. He's taking us from faith to faith. But in the end, we're to become the image of God. Let's go over there. 2 Corinthians, please. And chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Hallelujah to Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Let me know when you get there. Verse 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty, freedom. But we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed into what? The same image. Come on. From glory to glory. Even, keep going, as by the Spirit of the Lord. So we're being changed as we look at this perfect law of liberty and we continue in that. He is changing us from one level to another level. And that what happened in the Old Testament, let me just show you an Old Testament example. This is when somebody is holding on to something that's already passed. In other words, it was a truth and you had it then, but God has given you a greater truth. Say amen to this. And let's look at it. Let's look at 2 Kings chapter 18. 2 Kings chapter 18 and also Numbers chapter 21. Now, if you want to, you can do Numbers chapter 21 first. Let's go to Numbers chapter 21. All right, this is a time where Moses was the people were being bitten by snakes because of their rebellion. They were being bitten by snakes. Let me tell you where I'm going. Let me just take the mystery out of this. A lady came to Sister Gloria Copeland, and she told this story one time. And she said, the lady said, you know, I'm trying to get my healing. And she said, you know, I am doing all I know to do to get this healing. She said, can you tell me what my problem is because I can't seem to get it? She said, simple. You don't know enough. When Dr. Trim was preaching up here, she said something. She said, she was talking about poverty. And she said that you're not poor because you don't have any money. You're poor because you don't have revelation. Now, this is very important. My people are destroyed for what? Lack of what? Money. Knowledge. Got nothing to do with money. See, if you don't have the knowledge and the revelation to operate and the wisdom to operate above the system of the world, Satan can still control you because you'll be conformed to the world. You've got to do another level of thinking to take over him. Other than that, he's going to control the resources. Now, this is key because we've been thinking we don't have any money. No, no, no. It's revelation. It's light. It's light. When that light comes on inside, folks, I've had a stuffy nose that I was some trying to go through my body, a stuffy nose, and I read that scripture, I read some scripture and so forth, and I ran across a powerful revelation, and in one half second, my nose opened up, ears opened up, everything. Because when the light comes in, darkness must go. Darkness is any work of the devil. It doesn't make any difference. Are you following what I'm saying? So the reason why you're working two jobs is because you don't have no light. Not because of your money. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, this is where I want to go. I'm talking about breakthrough now. We're breaking through because the breakthrough is going to be in your mind. God has already prepared it for you. He's already got it. The blessings and the opportunities are swimming around your head. As soon as you go out of here in your neighborhood, they're still swimming around your head. Now, why can't we see them? Because the enemy blinds the mind of them that believe not. Lest the glorious light, the light of the glorious gospel would shine unto them. He wants to keep you from revelation knowledge. And it really becomes easy to achieve when you know there's another level. The thinking is, I'm not shooting for anything higher because I think I got it all now. That's it, so forth and so on. Uh-uh, no you don't. You haven't even scratched the surface yet. You follow what I'm saying? See, you have the mind of who? Christ. Well, you know what the mind of Christ was. The mind of Christ was just like in Hebrews chapter 12. It says chapter 12 and verse 2 talks about a great crowd of witnesses. And Jesus, what did it say? I'm gonna turn to that. I got to say that. I know the verse. It said he
also confessed about with the great crowd of witnesses, lest man side every weight and the sin which do so easily beset us. Let's run with patience the race that is set before us.
But it says that he, because he saw something
for the joy that was
for the joy, there it is. For the joy that was set before him, watch this, he endured the cross. You follow what I'm saying? See, he didn't give up and faint because he could see the end. And if you can see the end, you don't give up. If you can see your harvest, you're going to be full of joy. If you can, I don't care. I got it. I don't care what's happening. Doesn't make any difference. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He saw you and me coming home. Because it's all done in the spirit. There is no time in the spirit. So you don't have to wait on it. Revelation looks directly into the eternal. And it can see both north and south. It can see both ahead and behind. You follow what I'm saying? And that's the potential you have with the mind of Christ. What he can see, you can see. Isn't that wonderful? Is that all right? All right. Let's look at this. So Numbers chapter 21. Have you got that? All right. Verse 7. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, For we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it on a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent hath bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he what? He lived. Now, what did that serpent represent on that pole? All right, it represented Christ and his going to the cross. But it represented iniquity, that he became iniquity for us. Remember how God cursed that serpent in the garden after that sin? That he then became a brass symbolizes divine judgment. So he wrapped a brass serpent, not a silver serpent, not a gold serpent, a brass serpent on a pole. Now, everybody that looked on that serpent would be healed. So every person, because of what Jesus did on the cross, if they receive that as for them, that he took their sin, he took their sickness, then sickness will leave their body. Come on now. Now, notice that was a bona fide time in the wilderness that God did a work. That was a knowledge that they had. Now, let's go over to the second place I told you to go. Where was that? 2 Kings and chapter what? 2 Kings and chapter 18. Now, look at verse 4. Are you with me? These are the children of Israel a few hundred years after that incident. Verse 4, this is talking about who is reigning here? Whoever it is, Hezekiah. Okay, verse 4. And he removed the high places and break the images and cut down the groves and break in pieces the what? Brass serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did what? Burn incense to it and what? Called it Nehushtan or whatever have you. Notice what had happened. It became a religious symbol. They got religious on it. Now, I'm just saying that it was a truth at one time. But now, that time for that, God has elevated them and taken them to another level. But they holding on to this, and now it's become a religious thing. It just, and religion tries to block you from revelation. And so you got to let go of that and eat on another level so that you can slay another devil and that you can have the possession and inheritance that God has for you. Say amen to that. So don't think you have it all. And that's what happens to some denomination. They'll get a truth and they'll set up this denomination based on this truth. Well, they think they got it and they're the only ones that got it. Well, you better let it go and get more, because if you just camp around that, it'll become religion after a while. It has lost its power as a revelation. And now God is using somebody else. And now they got some revelation and you find yourself on the outside looking in. Now, you follow what I'm saying? So you should always be open to God taking you to a higher level, because the higher the revelation, the stronger, glory to God, the more powerful this thing can operate in your life to be able to take you to another level, another dimension of God's glory like God wants to do. Now, let me tell you what I'm getting at. When we were here, let me just make sure I don't want to cover this. Y'all with me here? When we were here, David Herzog was ministering, and I saw this thing. I said, now, these are miracles that are happening. And I said, we kind of locked our mind into a certain level. And the Bible says that if thou can believe, all things become possible. Now, here we're getting back to this unlimited thinking now. Now turn to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9, please. Matthew chapter 9. I love this stuff, I'm telling you. Let me know when you get there. Matthew chapter 9. And this is not that this is not deep, folks. Don't think I'm doing something deep. This is not deep. I'm just feeding you on another level. It's not deep. Just open your heart and get rid of limited thinking and just receive. Look what it says in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 27. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, "Thou son of David, have mercy on us." And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, "Believe ye that I'm able to do this?" And they said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then touched he their eyes, saying, "According to your what? Faith, be it unto you." And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, "See that no man know it." But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all the country. Now, I'm saying, how are you thinking? Because I saw it when he was doing this. I said, now, we have stopped at Mark 16, where it says that they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. But Brother Herzog demonstrated another level. Come on, you got to see here. Because he's saying, okay, God can fill your teeth without me laying hands on you. And the way this is happening is that we are entering into the glory. We are going back to the atmosphere of Eden. Eden was a type of heaven. And he said something. He said, when you step into heaven, let me ask you, will you have any headache? Nope. When you step into heaven, will you have any bad teeth? When you step in, see, anything that is not, watch my words now, good, acceptable, perfect, is not allowed in heaven. And if you create heaven's atmosphere, everything that's on your life that has no business in heaven must go. Nothing broken, nothing missing. You step into heaven with one kidney, the moment you cross the threshold, you got two. Come on now. You see? So he said the portal of heaven is open. Now the glory is going to come down in the meeting. And it's going to change the atmosphere. And that's all we need, because the anointing comes with it to heal the brokenhearted, to come on now, to deliver the oppressed, whatever you got that's not according to the covenant of heaven, the glory of God, it must go into God. It's got to get up and go. Now, this, I saw it. I said, we had stopped. We had stopped. We thinking, I got to go there and lay hands on him. Whoa. The centurion caught it. He said, you don't need to come to the house.
That's right. Yeah.
Don't make me preach up in here. You don't need to come to the house. Just speak the word only. And that's all he did up there on that thing. He said, once you got the glory present, speak through the glory and everything will be done. Didn't he say that? Now understand, religion blocks the way. You remember the man? Here he was, and this man in John chapter 5, he's set by the pool of Bethesda, and he had been there 38 years trying to get a healing. He said whenever at certain season an angel came down and stirred up the water, and anybody that jumped in the pool first, whoever jumped in first, got it. That's like the lottery. You know, they gave him one winner, and they got it. And so Jesus came to him, said, hey, would you like to be made whole? And the man began to talk about people. He said, well, you don't know. I've been trying to do this, and if one time Joe jumped in front of me, one time, you follow what I'm saying? Blaming generation. And Jesus said, rise, take up your bed and walk. Now, did he touch the man? The man got up, got his bed, and started walking. But then some Pharisees came along, saw him carrying his bed on the Sabbath. And they said, it's not lawful for you to carry your bed on the Sabbath. What are you doing? Now, they're coming after him. Now, understand that the breakthrough that you get, one of the most powerful resisting forces that try to come against you is religion. Is folks telling you how you got to do this, how you got to wear your hair, how you got to do your, come on now. And what you got to do is for you to get your breakthrough, you got to get free. You got to be willing to go against every system that got you into that place. Do you follow what I'm saying? Are you following what I'm saying now? Now, this... All right, let me show you an example. Now we gotta do breakthrough thinking.
Yes.
Because I took you as far as the offering of increase message, I took you to no more limits.
Right.
So we gotta think no more limits now. We gotta think that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I can ask or think.
Right.
So if I can think it, he can do more than that.
Yeah.
Am I right about it? And when the glory falls, I don't have to do it.
Yeah.
That's the point. See, Moses, God told him, said, Moses, the children are asking for water. Here's a rock. You go over there to that rock, take that staff and hit that rock and water will come out. I'm talking about water to feed milk cows and the water cows and feed water 3 million people. You know what I'm saying? Well, then the next time it came, and he told Moses, he said, now don't hit this one. You just step back and decree a thing. See, he's taking us from glory to glory because we gotta end up looking like him. And he spoke the earth into existence. Are y'all following what I'm saying here? Man, I caught that thing the other night. I said, that's it. That's it. Praise God.
Yeah.
Now, if thou can believe,
yeah.
All things are possible. Well, what does it take to transform your thinking? Meditation. Because if your thinking is not transformed, then you'll still conform to this world. So if we can take some time, meditate the Word of God, of which we're going to talk about next time, meditate the Word of God, now we're transforming our thinking to think like God. Now, He needs you to think like Him because He's got to get through your free will. So God cannot do any more for you than you're willing to let Him do. Are y'all following what I'm saying? Okay, turn to 2 Kings and 2 Kings chapter 5, please. 2 Kings chapter 5. What time is it? Ooh, Lord, we out of time. Okay. Are y'all with me? Say, no more limits.
No more limits.
Say, I'm made for impossibilities.
Say, Isaiah 8:18.
I and the children
that the Lord has given me
are made for signs and wonders.
Say,
I am
made for signs and wonders.
I am living
in the glory realm
in the name of Jesus.
Woo! Praise God.
All right. What did I tell you?
Second King.
All right.
Second Kings
and chapters 5. All right. Now, this is when a man named Naaman. All right. So Naaman goes and he is a Syrian captain of the Syrian army. All right. But he's got a problem. Very distinguished man. Very high position. He's got leprosy. Now, the king has some compassion for him, the king of Syria, because he's one of his chief men. So he gets a knowledge from a little maiden of somebody that you can go down there to that prophet, and that prophet will be able to get you healed. Say amen to this. And so what did he do? He said, okay. So he went, him and all his entourage. Okay, big man in town. High roller. All right. So then he goes down, verse 9. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought he would surely come out to me. Come on now. And stand and call on the name of the Lord, his God, and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. So I'm sure he's going to do it this way. Now, I know because that's the way I heard they always do it. Because this is the way he's going to do this. Now, I know this is the way he's going to do this. Bill Winston going to do it this way. Now, he's got to lay hands on me. He just can't speak. Now, I got to feel something. He got to do something here. Come on now. He got to shout a little bit. He got to something. Because I just can't get into it if he don't run around and be shouting and spit coming all out of his mouth. I can't get into it right. All right, look what it says here. All right, verse 11 again. But Naaman was wroth. He went away and said, behold, I thought he would surely come and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee to do something, what? Some great thing, would thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he said unto thee, wash and be clean? Then went he down and dipped himself, how many times? 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh. Come on. Wait a minute. It came like the flesh of a what? of a little child. That means that God did more than just heal him. Have y'all ever smelled a baby? Now, I'm not talking about when the baby messing the clothes. I'm talking about smelt a baby. When a baby is a baby, you wash the baby, don't they smell so pure and so forth? This is how his flesh became. God reset his flesh. Now, I'm saying we think of a broken bone and God can heal a bone. How about putting a new bone in? How about putting, come on now. I'm saying not healed your eye. How about replacing it? Are you following what I'm saying here?
Glory.
Now, we got to do that kind of thinking to get that kind of results. And I'll put some notes in here that God gives us dominion over this whole earth. That's what he said. Now, we got to meditate that, because in Psalm chapter 8 and verse 6, he's given us dominion over all the works of his hands. Now, gravity is the work of his hand. So we got dominion over that. Space is the work of his hand. So we got dominion over that. Gravity, that's when Peter walked on water. Space, that's in 1 Kings chapter 18, when Elijah outran the chariot. And how would you like to be going down to Eisenhower and somebody running fast and just pass you right on by? How you doing? Praise the Lord. And running past you by. How about dominion over fire? The three Hebrews went in there and couldn't burn them. How about dominion over animals? Here's Daniel in the lion's den and the lion wouldn't bite him. Or over fishes, how Peter put in the net and pulled up as many fish as whatever he would ever want. How about over wars? Oh, let's show you that one. Come on, Psalms chapter 46, please. Psalm chapter 46. I'm talking about impossible thinking. I'm talking about we got to get rid of some of these camps that we've encamped around. And now we're going to Psalm chapter 46, please. We're going to have to go up to another level, because I'm going to feed you on another level. And you're going to work on another level. You're going to walk on another level. You're going to talk on another level. You're going to expect on another level. And you're going to get the breakthrough on another level. Praise God. Look what it says in Psalm chapter 46 and verse 9. Have you got it? He maketh wars to what? Cease unto the end of the earth. That's a promise, my friend. Whatever he's got down there in this thing as a part of your benefit, you can make wars to cease. I'm telling you, I believe the church had dominion over wars that are started, that we can get together in prayer and make it so the devil will back off that war and that war will cease. How about dominion over storms? You saw Jesus do that. How about dominion over disease? Here's a leper, and the leper said to Jesus, if you can heal me, if you will. And Jesus said, I will, and touched the leper, and the leprosy got up and departed. How about dominion over time? Joshua made the sun stand still almost 24 hours. How about dominion over death? Here's Jesus coming to the grave of Lazarus, and Martha and Mary said, hey, you can't do anything for him now. He's been dead 4 days. Jesus said, hey, you don't understand who I am. I am the resurrection. I am the life. Come on now. Lazarus! Come forth, praise God. How about dominion over lack? How about dominion over matter? It doesn't make any difference. My friend, let me tell you something. Jesus made it so that there are no more limits. And for the church, there are no more limits. So what we're going to call this is a breakthrough. We're going to call it getting your breakthrough. We're going to talk some more about it, because next time I want to start in and talk about how you are royalty and how you can stand in dominion over this earth, and you can decree things because it's your domain, and you can tell things where to go, where to come, and how to operate in this new reality. We're going to break through that old thinking. We're not going to camp around last year's revelation. We're going to move on. We're going to get a higher revelation so we can do more for the kingdom of God. Give the Lord a praise. Glory to God. Yeah. we starting something in here now, see. The glory, the glory, the glory. Ha 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 ha. Se que se tira bahasa. Renge sito lo bahosa. Manda ekon rosi te. Bosi tachi te. Me que si tala bahada. Me que se tita la bahonda. Yere me kisa. Oh, rakasata. Mo sita kandala bahasa. Me que se te. Masata. Get your hands off of that money, Satan. I command money, come right now in Jesus' name. Miracles and finances. Take a seat, take a seat, take a seat. We got to get out of here. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. We're going to another dimension, another level. Yes, yes, praise God.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, praise God. But see what we got to do? We got to get past religion into the glory. Thank God for the church you came from. But you're going to another level now. You're kicking it on another level. All right. People who need to be born again.